And then Peter's going to come up and... My one.
Sorry.
The kingdom of heaven is like...
Stand away from the loudspeaker.
Getting it wrong already, aren't I? Right. Let's all do it together then. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. A few minutes ago, we had the little hymn, He is Lord. And a few weeks ago, Polani was at Bulfin taking this service, and he chose the hymn, He is Lord. And he very kindly, we sang it in English, and then Polani sang it in Zulu, and then he said, now Peter and Marijke will sing it in Dutch. So we had that particular hymn in three languages, one after the other, and then we finished off in English. Okay. So everybody knew what it was. But needless to say, nobody understood the Zulu and our Polani, and there was only Marijke and I understood the Dutch. Anyway, okay, so thought we'd turn if I'm here again, we'll just continue with the various parables of Jesus. And that's the reason I chose that. Just a short reading. I don't see any point in having great long readings, which quite frankly nobody listens to, and very few people can remember what they are. But it's a couple of verses, people probably remember it, especially if they read it themselves as well. Okay, parables are hard to understand, and they're hard to put into practice. When Jesus taught these parables something like 2,000 years ago, people went away to talk about them and to try and understand them and put them into practice. And we're going to have a go at sort of analysing these two parables today. I thought somebody was coming in. That must be the wind. So, most parables start in a similar way, which is, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, that's a good start, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven. What on earth is the kingdom of heaven? And so what's Jesus referring to when he says the kingdom of heaven is like? First of all, he's not referring to any particular place like the UK, but to anywhere where the rule of God is evident. Anywhere where his values and purposes are lived out. That basically is the kingdom of God. So we could say that this is part of the kingdom of God here, if we are living things out as Jesus wants us to. And we've got to put ourselves under the rule of God. Each of us should be a sign of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is bigger than the church and is anywhere where God is allowed to rule. It might not be the full rule, but something that heaven has brought to earth. It's something of his values, his grace, his love, and his truth. Now, the thing about the kingdom of heaven, about God, I better put my specs on. I can see most of it, but it's just that little bit unseeable at times. Right. Think about the kingdom of heaven, about God's work in the world. The church is not the kingdom, but is an agent of the kingdom. So if people think that the church is the kingdom of God, they got it wrong. It's just an agent of the kingdom. And when Jesus is talking in parables, he's talking about God's rule on earth. The parables indicate the values of the kingdom. Now, from the Bible reading, there's a treasure in the field and a pearl of great price. In these parables, there are life-changing signs for the people who found them. We know nothing about the man who was in the field, and he dug the things up. Maybe there's a bit of morality there. We shouldn't go digging things up for people. But then this is just the story, fortunately. So there's no morality as far as that bit's concerned. And so we know nothing about this man, but he has found something of great value. And the merchant has found the most valuable pearl that there is and will do anything he can to get it. And what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is the most valuable thing we will ever discover in our lives, and it will change our lives. Right, the man who finds the field, the man who finds treasure in the field, and the man who found the pearl realized that these finds would radically change their lives. And when we find the kingdom of God, it will radically change our lives as well. And when we enter the kingdom of God, we are saying, I am no longer going to rule my life. I am going to put my life under the rule and control of God. If you are in his kingdom, he is the king and determines what you do. You're no longer in control of your life. You have put Jesus on the throne of your life. And that's the reason why we say Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Now then, when we put Jesus into our lives, it can be a bit awkward because it might be something we don't want to do. As I've told you before, 40 years ago or thereabouts, Marika and I were baptised. The last thing I wanted to do was to be baptized. Be honest about that. And I still wouldn't say to people, you ought to be baptized. And did our lives change after that? Yes, they did. Because the first thing that happened, the place company I was working for was obviously going to go down the nick. So we had to move. And God said, well, whether you like it or not, you're moving to Basildon. And we moved to Basildon. And did I like it? No. And I don't think any of the family liked it. 40 years ago, we're still here. God doesn't always do what you want him to do. He's a bit naughty at that, but then things always turn out for the best. And the parables are about putting yourself under the control of God. And it is valuable because it is life-changing event. It's a life-changing event coming to the Creator of all things. God knows your past, your present, and future. But the one thing he needs to know is you. Now, the person who found the treasure had great joy. He gave up everything in order to get that treasure. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to give up things in order to be filled with the joy of knowing that we have God in our lives and to give things up willingly. Now then, the definition of joy. I looked this up and there's a definition of joy. Definition of Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. So why shouldn't we be filled with joy when we come to God, who's our creator, who loves us passionately, and has given us his Holy Spirit. We should be filled with joy, but that doesn't always happen, especially when we've been to some meetings which we've found boring, and sometimes we lose sight of the worth of the kingdom. Boring meetings. I remember being at a Bible study at the church we used to go before to where we moved, and I said, "Oh, come on, get on with it, it's dragging." And a person said to me, "Your trouble is you haven't got any patience." And on that thing, I didn't have, I must admit that. However, the following day when I was at work, I was involved in fixing an instrument which had decided it wasn't going to work properly. And the person said to me, "I don't know how you've got the patience to do that." So there's two different types of patience. One, which I was saying in a Bible study, and I got bored with it. Well, I suppose we all get bored with things at times, to be honest about it. Do we have joy, or have things that life throws at us dissipated that joy, causing us to lose sight of the value of the kingdom of God? And I think that does happen to many of us at times. If we try to forget the kingdom of God, and we lose the joy that it gives when we start taking control of our lives, we need to keep coming back to the life-transforming power of God in our lives. Now, faith is not a string of pearls. It is one pearl. And the Christian life is not a string of pearls. Now, the merchant who got the pearls, he had a string of pearls, but he was quite willing to get rid of all of those in order to get the one pearl which is valuable, and that's what he did. Now, putting faith and trust in things other than Jesus is going to cause us to wander away. The Christian faith, as we said, is not a string of pearls. There's only one pearl, and that is Jesus and the kingdom of God. The main point of the two parables is that they both give everything up they had to get the treasure. Now then, people at the time would realize what Jesus was talking about when the person was digging up the field and found a treasure, because in those days the rabbinical code was that if you've got treasure, the best thing to do is to hide it, dig it a hole, hide it so that nobody can nick it. Of course, there's couple of problems arose with that, and that was the person could forget where they'd put it, not tell anybody about it, or died and not tell anybody. And of course, if they died, that was it. Nobody knew where it was. It would be just by pure luck that it was found. And in this particular story of the treasure being dug up, it was a person who actually found it. Then he was willing to sell everything. We, of course, don't have no idea what the treasure was, but it was something of obviously great value that he was willing to sell everything in order to get that treasure. And he would sell everything so he would end up rather poor. What's the words I've got here? And they could end up in a rather dicey situation. They just had this treasure, which maybe nobody else wanted, so they couldn't sell it or anything. The other person had the pearl, which was probably of so much value that he couldn't sell that either. So they were just left with the treasure and the pearl. But to them, that was the most important thing, not the ability to sell it and get rid of it. It's like us with the kingdom of God. It's so valuable to us that we don't want to get rid of it. So the merchant sold everything in order to get the priceless pearl, just as a man sold everything to get the field and hence the treasure. Both the persons who got the treasure, both the person who got the treasure and the merchant who got the pearl impoverished themselves so that they could get what they wanted. So in order to get what they wanted, they impoverished themselves. Now then, salvation or reconciliation is free. It is an act of grace and enables us to enter into a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. Now then, there's a character in the Bible, Paul, who said, I have lost everything in order to gain Christ. Now then, Paul would have had a privileged upbringing. He would have been educated at the equivalent Oxford or Cambridge in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. And he had everything going for him. Then, of course, as we know, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus as he was preparing to go and get rid of all the people of the way. And he met Jesus. And that changed him to the extent that basically lost everything, ended up in prison, nearly got killed a few times, and all the other things that happened to him. And that's what happened to him, giving up everything in order to follow Jesus. The two parables are about the simple truth of surrendering our lives to Jesus. But it's something that's very, very hard to do. We're always putting ourselves into our own control instead of allowing Jesus to be in control. We're constantly forgetting Jesus and allowing other things to crowd in and take priority. And I think we're all guilty of that at times. It is all or nothing in our relationship with Jesus. There aren't any shortcuts. As we said, Paul had a privileged upbringing, but he counted it all as rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus. And knowing Jesus is the only pearl of great price. There are some Christians who make Jesus a hobby to see what they can get out of it. It reminds me of a person I met some years ago who asked me what I did. What did on Sunday? I said, we go to church. Oh, he said, I might go to church because I might be able to get to know some people who can help me. He happened to work in the City of London, and he was concerned more about getting people who might be able to help him make more profit in the City of London than he was in the church. As far as he was concerned, the church was just a convenience for him to, in the hope of being able to get what he wanted, but it meant nothing to him as far as God was concerned. And that's, we have our own ambitions, but by surrendering our lives to God, we are moving into the bigger ambitions that God has for us and what God wants us to do, which we may not always appreciate or understand. The last thing I wanted to be quite honest, or one of the last things, would be a Methodist local preacher. And what did I end up as? A Methodist local preacher. What was the last thing I wanted to do? What did I want to be baptized? No. What did I end up as? Being baptized. Did we want to move from where we were to here? No. What did we do? We ended up here, whether we like it or not, and that's it. And God doesn't say, oh, well, if you want to do it, just think about it. He said, do it, and that's it, like it or not. And it was the same with Paul, and if you read in the Gospels, it was the same with the people there. Most of the disciples ended up being killed because of following Jesus. So it's not an easy thing to do. And as we know, in the present day, there are people in different countries who are persecuted simply because they believe in Jesus. Which, when you think of it, why persecute a person because they believe in Jesus? So anything else people persecuted for other than believing in Jesus? Really, no. But Jesus is the one makes life difficult for people, unintentionally, of course. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Our treasure, our pearl, must be Jesus. And that is where our hearts will be. And then we can say, Lord, I am yours. The last hymn I've chosen, well, when I've been here before and chosen hymns, I've always managed to choose ones that people didn't know. I hope that this is one that people do know. I know Polani knows it because we did it at Poplar House, and he's happy about that, and he got, I did suggest he brought his guitar along and joined him, but he didn't want to. So I hope everybody knows this one. So I'll ask Mike to play it through. They know it. That's okay. I couldn't find it.